The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
That's right. It's the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. We're here after the end of the 2020 home and away season. It's the 25th of September. I keep seeing tweets going up from footy clubs saying, on this day, however many years ago, we won this flag or that flag. And it's really weird to think we're still a month away from the grand final ourselves. I'm your host today. My name is Rudy Etzel. I'm joined by Will Ralston.
Hello, Rudy.
I see you're nothing up there with your Premier's 2002 Brisbane T-shirt.
That's correct. Sorry, Tom Beers, who also joins us, Collingwood supporter. Were you even alive for that one, Tommy?
Yeah, I was just shy of my fifth birthday, I think. So
yeah, heartbreak to you.
Sixth birthday. So I do remember those were like my earliest footy memories almost, like getting to grand finals with that ordinary as team that we had in the early 2000s. Where Bucks just carried us every week. It was Bucks was like so far our best player. It was like the easiest decision in the world for him to be my favorite player.
Yeah. The year after as well in 2003, they are some ordinary grand final
sides. Even worse.
Look at them. And then in 2002, they nearly pinched it. It's incredible.
Yeah. Anthony Rocker's kick over the post.
Yep.
It's you mentioning that Bucks is your favorite player. Beersy reminded me of, I don't know, did you guys see that video from, must have been Sunday Arvo, when all the Cats players' families were watching the game, like the Geelong Sydney game?
Yeah.
And Corey Enright's daughter changed the channel on them with 6 points in it and 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
And then they switched the TV, they finally switched the TV back. Cats had won. All the kids are celebrating. It was good vision. But I reckon I saw someone in there wearing 35 on his back, who I reckon was too old to be Paddy Dangerfield's kid. And it got me to thinking, how often do the kids like demand like a Cats jersey with a number on the back that isn't their dad's?
That's really funny.
You'd be pretty flat. You'd be like, oh, thanks, Dad, but I really wanted Paddy.
I also love in that vision how there's no like adult men in the room. It's all just like mum and kids, and that's why everyone's a bit forgiving. I would be so grateful if little Luna Enright turned off the coverage I was watching. I remember I went to a grand final party 2018 and they couldn't get the aerial to the TV to work. And by quarter time, we're watching some buggy stream and I just went to someone else's house. This isn't good enough.
Yeah. I guess I guess there'd be some people for whom the only time they use an antenna during the year is the grand final, because you can get every other game on Fox Footy, can't you? And then, and that's always the Channel 7 coverage, like tell us broadcasted as well. So maybe this could be the one time. That's pretty funny. Let's talk Legends of the Week, boys. Will, I assume you're going with a Brisbane player.
I'll give a quick little nod to Lachie Neale, because by the end of this season he'll be All-Australian midfield starter, Coaches Association Player of the Year, Lee Matthews Trophy winner. He'll win a Brownlow. I'm praying he lands with a premiership medal around his neck. Potentially a Norm Smith, because when he plays well, we tend to win. It could be in the Dustin Martin 2017 class of all-time great seasons. He's so far, he hasn't not won anything. Is sort of in his hitting zone. So, Lachie Neale, congratulations. Great week. And I'll go for Ben Stratton as my Legend of the Week, because I like the way Strats goes about it. Kicked his second career goal in his final game.
Great moment.
Really good moment. Even as someone who passionately hates that club. you can't help but respect them. And I think he and Pioppolo had good performances to see out their career.
Yeah, it was cool to see. I've always liked Strats. He's just a bit of a different cat. I think he's got like a pretty cool bachelor pad sort of set up in Fitzroy as well.
So yeah.
He's just like one of those kind of guys. You can see him getting around the streets of Fitzroy.
Yeah.
In Glenorama and Bimbos and stuff.
It was last year or the year before, he DJed at the Triple M tent in the September Club. So I don't know how many listeners made their way into the September Club. But he's part of the Triple M family in that respect. So good on your Strats, DJ.
A great man. Beersy, your Legend of the Week, please.
Yeah, well, it feels like forever ago since recording on a Friday afternoon that Pendles actually broke the game's record at Collingwood and broke Bucks' captaincy record as well. But that's an unbelievable feat, and for that, I'm giving him my legend of the week. And just to cap it off, he was voted by his peers as the best captain in the league. So I think if that doesn't get your legend of the week, nothing will. So I'm going to give Pendles my nom this week.
Yep, fair shout. I like it.
Fair shout.
For mine, I'm going to go with Jack Watts because I just don't think he quite got the dues he deserved over the journey, Jack. And it looked like he was about to really start playing to his full potential off halfback in that quite powerful Port Adelaide team. He obviously he broke his leg really badly and I think dislocated his ankle last year. And then hasn't been able to get back on the park since. And unfortunate to see him go because I always had a soft spot for Watsy. And it also meant that three consecutive number one draft picks retired in the same, like within about a week of each other, which is really, really weird stuff.
I can't place them.
Cruiser?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Cruiser. Gibbs. 07, Gibbs 06, and then Jack Watts 08. So, Mark Murphy from 05 still kicking, and so is Tom Scully from 09.
Well, nice work. it's tragic, Jack Watts, isn't it? Because it looked like he was just getting it together. And sort of like Christian Petrarca, he was sort of maligned as a number two pick. And then suddenly it all came together. The guys have, those top-end draft guys, they always have class. Sometimes it just takes a while for it to kick in. As we've seen, but solid career in the end, Jack Watts.
Yeah, he played through some tough times for Melbourne as well. The trade period craziness has kicked off, guys, already, and it's like lots of it always comes as a shock to you. But Ben Brown moving away from North is going to be the weirdest one for me. Like he's so North in my mind. you know,
he is North.
The 50 and the he is North. So. Then I just don't know who's going to actually play footy for North next year.
Well, they feel like
they're playing for them. They're going to struggle.
If we start training now, we might be a chance for the draft.
It's concerning though, because not only do they have this war chest that no one is interested in touching,
and everyone keeps turning away their money.
Yeah, all their genuine class is sort of disappearing from it. If they lose Higgins and Brown, who have they got?
But poor old Ben Cunnington with a wrecked back there, just like trying to carry the earth like Atlas.
but he'd happily do it, not say anything, just for...
That's right. Yeah, it's all right. It's like, oh, can I still fish? Yes, Ben, you can still fish. No. I did like in Zach Williams' note that he left with GWS, obviously he wants to move back down to Victoria. He said that he wants to move to Melbourne to be closer to his sister in Albury.
Oh, geez, we had a laugh about this on our
Zach.
Group chat.
Spare us.
Let me do the maths. So how far did I
look it up. It's actually 2 hours shorter to get to Albury from Melbourne than it is from Sydney.
Is it
2 hours?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you
but
go.
You're still talking 3.5 hours versus 5.5 hours.
To move your entire livelihood.
You're kidding, no one.
Renegotiate a contract to
just
say
come out and put it in your you're chasing the cash, mate. You don't need to say this nonsense about moving closer to family.
You don't even need to say that. You just say I want to move, and like no one's going to be mad about it. Like, no one's going to be like, oh, I can't bullet, you know, he's like, he's moved for dishonourable reasons. Like, it's, this is footy now. Everyone just accepts players leaving and moving around.
It's like when you invite someone to something and then they give you too many excuses. It's like, I'm feeling a bit sick and I'm busy tomorrow and I've also got my grandma need to help with it. It's like, mate, if you don't want to come.
That's or when you invite someone to something on Facebook and they put down maybe is attending, you're like, just say no. we waited until after the All Australian and et cetera awards were handed out last night in that
the awards extravaganza.
It was over like that. It was so fast, wasn't it? The whole thing was done in 2 hours. Yeah, so did I. I thought at the start I was a bit worried about the All Australian team being drip fed and we'd, you know, be there at 11 o'clock finding out who the interchange was. But
yeah,
no, it all went really well, I thought. But it's fair to say people are not happy with the AA team.
Yeah,
they never are, forward, to be fair.
Yeah, but this year it feels a bit angrier this year, doesn't it?
Like, yeah, it does.
Half the forward line is midfielders.
Oh, this you know, forward line. I told you I wanted to come in off the long run-up, but it happens so often that it happens to the wings and the forward line. And I feel like that the wings, people are just starting to come around and like, oh, yeah, Menegola should have been selected. I'll cop Guthrie. At least he plays there a bit. Jack McRae barely touches the wing. That's why he gets...
Guthrie's been, I think, Geelong's biggest centre bounce attendee this year.
Oh, has he really? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I believe so. I could be wrong, but I believe so.
So they select players who get really big numbers, but if Cam Guthrie had played on a wing, he wouldn't have gotten the same numbers. That's like it's inherently flawed. You're either going to select someone who plays the position that you're going to pick them for, or is he just going to learn to be a wingman overnight? Is he? And then the forward line is the one that always gets, because they seem to respect the back line enough that they never tinker with that. They always select, and I think they nailed the back line personally. Oh, Burn Jones was a eyebrow raiser. Yeah, what did you guys think?
Yeah, I didn't necessarily mind Burn Jones as a pick. I probably would have had Vlosten or maybe Maynard.
Yeah, Maynard was stiff. Yeah. And Wiedering had a very good season. He'll end up with four AAs by the time he's finished, so I won't lose sleep over it. But the forward line, okay, I will cop Dustin Martin because he drifts forward, kicked 15 goals this year, which is about 35th in the AFL. But he has a genuine presence as a forward, and you would rest a midfielder forward, as we see every club do. But then to add on Dangerfield and Bontempelli, who have kicked 11 goals each, 11 goals. So they've kicked the same amount of goals as Sean Burgoyne.
Sean Burgoyne kicked 11 goals this year.
Yeah. And Michael Gibbons, wow. Jack Loney. I'm naming people who are not all Australian forwards. Kyle Langford. James Stewart, they have kicked the equal amount of goals as Bontempelli and Dangerfield. If you want to pick superstars, pick them where they play, and if they don't fit, then they don't make it. That's
I want. If you were picking a bloke to play on a half-forward flank, would you pick, who did you say, Jack Loney or Patrick Dangerfield?
But that's not the discussion. The discussion is who would I pick? And the answer would be Dan Butler. I would pick someone who has kicked goals this year.
I think Dan Butler was stiff to miss. I'm similar to you. I don't really mind necessarily Dusty or Danger going there because
I'll cop Danger too. He won Danger the last game of the season in the forward line on his own boot.
Yeah. They do. It feels like they just want to cram in as many decent midfielders as they can. And stars. It's kind of like, it's kind of like, come on, like, and you can. It's, I think, was it you last night said it's a bit disrespectful to the forward craft.
Really, it is, insulting. It's insulting to Butler and Papley and Charlie Cameron, who didn't actually make the squad but kicked the 10th.
Of course, I thought Dan Butler in particular was very,
Oh. Unbelievably stiff, not even to make the bench. In my opinion, that All-Australian team as it currently stands would struggle to kick 80 points. How many goals are feasibly coming out of that forward line? Because Dangerfield, Bontempelli, and Martin,
each other.
But they don't like set shots. They don't take marks and kick goals. So
you let Tommy Hawkins get the set shots, I think.
Just Hawkins Island.
Yeah, Hawkins Island.
And they dominate at stoppages. I'll give them that much.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Well, yeah, that's exactly right. So, Beersy, you put together a best of the rest team from the blokes that didn't make it.
Do
you have it there with you?
I do. This is just purely made up of the guys who were in the squad but didn't make the side. So there was 18 names, which fits kind of a starting field. So there's no extended bench, and I'm sure we could have nominated a couple of others knowing for team balance and whatnot. But from the back line, we've got Grimes, Tom Jonas and Maynard with Ridley, Wiedering, and Vlosten across halfback, which is a pretty solid really good back line.
Yeah. There was, to be fair, there probably was 12 All-Australian standard defenders this year as well.
Like those guys could step in at any moment and take any of those spots and no one would be too disappointed, I don't think.
In hindsight, I think that back line, it was hard to get wrong. As long as they just pick defenders.
But everyone's still blowing up about Burne Jones. But anyway, we'll go to the midfield. So across the centre, we've got Hugh McCluggage on a wing, Scott Pendlebury in the midfield in the centre, and Andrew Gaff on the other wing. And again, another pretty solid kind of centre line there.
Well, considering we've got
two guys who play on the wing. Then the half-forward line, Tom Papley, Jack Gunston, Sam Menegola. Now, Menegola is probably more of a midfield slash winger, but also plays that high half-forward role, kicks a lot of goals. He probably kicked more goals than Dangerfield and Bontempelli did this year as well.
He kicked 13 goals this year, so you're right.
There you go, you got him.
He's a more fitting recipient of that spot than Bontempelli, I'll give you that much.
Well, there you go. I'm glad that one paid off because that was just a pure stab in the dark. the full forward line of Dan Butler, Matt Tabner, and Zach Butters. Zach Butters actually surprised me that he made the squad.
Yeah,
weird
so squad selection, wasn't he?
Yeah,
good young kid.
In there. Yeah,
yeah.
But Dan Butler probably stiff not to be in the side. Matt Tabner had a pretty good year for, like, I don't think many people would have had him in their 40 at the start of the year, but he kicked 30 odd goals and I think he was one of the only ones to kick a goal in each match that he played in, or there was stat going deep into the season like that.
Yeah. He missed out in a game.
That's right, he was a late out.
Yeah. I think it was a game where they kicked two goals and he was one of them, like that kind of
And then to round out the midfield, in the ruck is Mark Blitzarves, but look, if you were probably going to pick this side, you'd have, you know, Goldie or Grundy come in and play in the ruck and Blitzarves you'd find a spot for somewhere else. But purely off this, you'd probably he starts in the ruck with Clayton Oliver and Nat Fyfe at his feet. So you've got Blitzarves, Oliver, Fyfe and Pendlebury starting in your midfield at the centre bounce, which is a fairly handy kind of combination.
You might play Blitzarves in the ruck if you were, say, dropping Reece Stanley for a final. I'd probably back Oliver and Fyfe to do all right around the clinches, even without a decent ruck, to be
fair. That's it. I think ignoring the ruck battle, if you've got, based on 2019 form, Fyfe, Pendlebury and Oliver, is it?
Yep.
You put them head-to-head with Neil, Petrarca and Boak. It'd be even, I reckon. They'd win 60% of clearances, I reckon.
Yeah.
Depends how many centre bounces Patrick Dangerfield goes to.
Your forward line is just there if you want to sub that whole half your forward line.
Just how many would Bontempelli, Martin and Danger get?
That's it. God.
So, that was our best of the rest 18. Pretty solid team.
Done well,
I'm sure people will have their say on socials. We'll get this up and out there later on today. So, interesting debate.
Yeah, indeed. Now, before we go, we just wanted to run through. We got halfway through the league on cult figures last week. We're up to GWS, I think. So we're going to do the rest of them before we move on. And we're going to start with Hawthorn. Now, it was a bit hard to find a cult figure for Hawthorn because they just don't really have one.
Unbelievably hard. One of the most vanilla, boring teams I've ever run my mouse across. I was just trying to find someone with a bit of X factor.
I don't mind personality.
They've gone full North Melbourne. No one knows who they are.
I decided on. Well, Ben Stratton was probably one of them, but considering he's no longer part of the team and also was captain, I probably don't know if you can run a cult figure captain. I've decided on Mitch Lewis because he, of course, came in that year when they got rid of Sam Mitchell and Jordan Lewis. The poor guy, he's inextricably linked with two of the biggest legends to ever pull the shirt on for the club for the rest of his career.
That kind of sums it up. The cult hero is just in there because of his name happens to be the same as two other, like, yeah, Hawthorn, you've got to find your next Cyril. Just give us someone to to enjoy.
Help us out. Help us out. Now, Melbourne is up next, and there's a pretty obvious one for me. I'd love to know what your nominations would be, guys.
I would have thought Pickett would have been in the conversation.
I did have Pickett down, but the obvious one I thought was Jaden Hunt.
Oh, yeah. Long finger, loves a barrel, headband.
Yeah.
Long sleeve.
Sees an owl every day.
Weird unit, yeah. He's a good fella, Jaden Hunt.
He is a good fella. He's a ripper fella. He's one of my favourites out there for Melbourne. Yeah. I love it. I also like that Ed Langdon has clearly come to Melbourne and he's enamoured with his look because he runs the headband and the long sleeves as well.
Yeah.
They're very hard to tell apart on the field. Like, it's commentator's nightmare. But
they are, yeah. Jaden tends to go for a more colourful headband than Ed, from what I've noticed.
That's a good tip for any footy viewers.
That's right. If you're struggling with your player ID. North Melbourne's up next, and I had a similarly easy time picking a cult figure for these guys.
Can I nominate? I've got a runner up. I think Taryn Thomas is very entertaining to watch. But
yes, I love a bit of Taryn.
I think I'll be on the same wavelength as you with Cameron Zerha.
Indeed, the Zoo.
Alphabetically, the last player in history. And I don't think anyone's going to get close to him. ZU. That is hard to get past.
That is tough. Unless we get like a big Polish diaspora come on board.
Yeah, ZYR or something.
ZY is like someone named Zvayek or something.
Yeah, Ty's was very close.
He would have been. but yeah, I love the way Big Cam Zerha goes about it. Just splitting blokes in half all the time. Yeah. Just beelines the footy. And if you're in his way, kapow.
Yeah.
You're in big strike.
Wrecking ball.
So, Port Adelaide is up next for us. They've got a quietly genuine sort of weird unit in their lineup, Scotty Lysette. JB on our footy coverage always likes to bring up that he's got a shrine to himself.
I'm not across his weird unitness. Is that
but JB reckons he's got a shrine to himself in his house.
Interesting.
And he was infamously found still wearing his footy boots after winning the flag like 2 days later because he hadn't washed or been home or anything like that. It just
really
straight from the grand final, still in his kit.
That's like Jay Mumford. Who did we end up nominating him for the Giants?
Yeah, we did. We did. Yeah. In the end.
You've seen that footage from the 2012 grand final when he rocks up late to the. Oh, God, it's funny.
They ask him about it. He just goes, woo!
Sausage.
We had Jeremy McGovern on the Saturday Rub reminiscing about the 2018 grand final before the season restarted, and he said Scott Lysette was absolutely best on ground and that he'd lost his medal in the first 24 hours.
Oh, God. That's funny.
Let's move on to Richmond. They've got a few.
I'd rather not.
you've got to play them this week. You're not looking forward to that, are you?
I'm dreading it.
They've got a few for me. Marby or Two Phones Chol is an obvious one.
He's got to be up
there. He's the front
runner. He's got to be up there. Yeah, Jack Higgins as well.
Oh yeah.
Good man.
He's almost like the cult figure mascot for the whole comp.
That's what I think. I think he's too hard to get past.
He is. I've got just quietly though. Oleg Markov is my fave.
Yeah,
he's got that like hilarious mustache. Apparently, he's like in his spare time, he like rebuilds old cars.
Yeah,
but he's also his dad as well was like a Belarusian pole vaulter.
Really?
Dmitry Markov is his name.
Dmitry.
He was born in Vitebsk. In the Belarusian Soviet Socialist Republic, he competed for Belarus in various competitions and fell out with the Athletics Federation, and moved to Melbourne, and he won a gold medal at the 2001 World Championships for Australia in pole vault.
That's extraordinary, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that great?
What an absolute legend. You're not quite going to sell Oleg Markov to me because of his dad's pole vaulting exploits. But
what about the mustache he's got? I just love Oleg Markov.
No, I do like Oleg Markov. I also like Big Ivan.
Big Ivan's older, yeah.
But I think it's
and Marte. They're going to have that Marte. Yeah, Jack Higgins is a good shot.
And they're going to have mate playing soon. But yeah,
big mate.
It's Higgins. Higgins is all time cult figure. Like we'll look back and think of how good we had it.
Yeah, <indeed. laughs> glory days.
And he loves goals, weird goals.
Yeah, he loves snags.
Yeah.
Sydney. There's a couple. I've got a few here. Will, who do you reckon is the?
I thought in my head I was like, I know Sydney's list pretty well. No, I'm struggling. Who have you got? Give me your.
Well, an obvious one is the lizard, Nick Blakey.
Weird shoulders, yeah. Yeah. But I think
he definitely looks like a lizard.
He's going
to end up being.
I don't know. I think Aaliyah,
the double name.
He's been around for so long, though. I'm not sure.
That's true.
Sam Naismith's another one that I've got. His Insta game.
I forgot about him because he's been injured.
Yeah. He's been around forever.
Did his ACL again. He played with a torn ACL at the start of this year to honor his sister, which is
I saw that.
Unbelievably gutsy.
He has a tattoo of the fox from the Simpsons episode where Homer has that trip.
The space coyote.
Sydney's hard.
I've got another one as well. Before he has yet to play a senior game, but the big teenager Will Gould is going to be a genuine cult figure for them, I reckon.
Okay.
He's a giant human being already, and he kicks long and he belts blokes. So he's got all the ingredients.
Tom Papley's also fun to watch. He's a bit A-grade. But,
I love Tom Papley just because he gets right up blokes' noses.
Yeah.
It's awesome. St Kilda was a tough one to pick as well.
I've got Ben Long for his glorious mullet.
Oh, yes.
He's one of my nominees. I also wanted to nominate Matthew Parker. Great story.
Matty Parker was the one I had written down.
Yeah. I reckon he might be the answer.
Yeah, love that. That's a good one. What about West Coast?
West Coast. I think Liam Ryan's too prominent, but he's a highlight reel.
Yeah, he's an All-Australian now. That rules him out.
That's true, actually.
Yeah. The one I had written down was Jeremy McGovern because he's genuinely like he's very A grade, I know, but he's
if Liam Ryan's one All Australian didn't rule him out. Maybe Jeremy McGovern's four might.
Hey, but just like you know what I mean though.
Yeah,
Jeremy McGovern is like
he doesn't look like
he's a defender. I think if you're a defender, you automatically like your reputation doesn't matter.
Yeah. I just think that he is like he's the one guy that you look at him the one guy in the whole competition where you look except Shane Mumford obviously where you look at him and go that man like just as home playing in like my local comp I reckon I see 10 Jeremy McGoverns every time I go down to the local park on a Saturday.
Yeah, you can see him wearing an ill-fitting green jersey with just like a red and white stripe horizontal, like just some country kit.
And the club nickname is like the Boatmen or something.
Like leaning against the canteen again, and he's got a can in his hand. Yeah,
is Lewis Jetter a little bit. Cult figure-ish. He's been around forever as well. But he remember when he shaved his head to have like the old man haircut and mugs off the camera and that every time it comes
Every time he sees a camera, he gets to dancing. That's a great shout. I love that actually.
Channel 10 story where they compiled all the times that he just stared down a camera
just
when it was
mugged him off.
And the camera just like crash zooms into him and he's just I love Lewis.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll definitely cut that. And then finally, we have
Lewis Jetter, by the way. He's had quite a career. Times. Yeah,
he has. Remember, he kicked 14 behinds before his first goal.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that was about 09.
That's cult figure areas in and of itself.
That's actually a nomination.
The Western Bulldogs are full to the brim.
I've gone through their list.
It's fair to say.
Well, I think we'll just jump straight to number one. It's Baz Lenker, surely.
It has to be, yeah.
Bailey what Smith. About Libba?
Also a great, it's, yeah, Libba as well.
If Libba played for any other club.
Libba needs to go to Hawthorn.
If we're talking about Naismith's Space Coyote tat,
yeah.
Libba's got the my God, you're greasy Homer Simpson. And,
like he's got Homer on the one, he's got the greasy kid on the other. It's so unbelievable.
Good. It's so good.
He's got a fruit and nut bar from memory.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
He's also
aging bizarrely, isn't he? Like he looks exactly like his dad just about with tats now. It's really weird, and he's got the mustache. He's just glorious. Love Libba.
He has to be the clubhouse leader. Baz Lenker's got years to catch up to him, I reckon.
Baz Lenker's gonna he'll become annoying. He'll become too prominent. I'm just saying, for a kid who's played like 30 games and he's got like 150,000 Instagram followers. Is that he's almost too mainstream as it is?
Yeah.
That like Joel Selwood. It's actually extraordinary.
That is. It's quality, is there? That's world class nominations.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's like, top five.
Mm. I think they're the clubhouse leaders, the league leaders for.
I love the way Rourke Smith goes about it just quietly.
Yeah, same here. They also, like, this is a club so full to the brim of cult figures that they could afford to get rid of Shane Biggs.
And Jack Redpath.
And they've also got a bloke who's, like, 4 foot 11 wearing a helmet. Who happens to be a Jet. Yeah.
Speaking of all Australians. Yeah, that's a good point. So I think it's fair to say we'll wrap that up there, and I think it's fair to say the Bulldogs are they're the competition leaders for it. So I think that will do us for this week as well. Actually, we'll come back next week and we'll do some reviews of the teams that didn't make the finals. Because we'll still be a little while away from the first final there. Just building anticipation. Feels weird to have had 30 games in 20 days, and now we've got 10 games in 30 days sort of thing.
Yeah, because if there's anything I feel like doing more, it's just getting knee-deep into Hawthorn's 2020 season and just unpacking it all. We won't keep these reviews to under a minute.
Yeah, well, we'll do three words season reviews. Yeah,
I like it.
Exactly. We'll put out the call midweek and get good. People to give us their versions of it.
Yeah, good compromise.
Yeah, so that's enough from us. Manage, you can check up on our socials. We're at Triple M Footy on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I've been your host, Rudy. I've been joined by Will.
Thank you, Rudy. Thank you, Tommy.
Beersy.
Thanks, boys. Been fun.
We'll see you next time.